So we're very delighted that today, this is the 10th global conference, and it's still alive, and we'll find out by the end of this conference where it might actually end up. And in year 2000, when the first global conference was organized, and that's when Ajahn Brahm appeared as a much skinnier, slender monk. Much more youthful as well. But he has matured and blossomed. And we're delighted that he has since become the co-convener of the global conference and has been instrumental in taking it around the world. So we're very indebted to him in revolutionizing Buddhism in a very different way, because if you watch his YouTubes and if you came last night, the kind of jokes he cracks and the words that he used, which, you know, I had no ability to ban them. So we've all just kind of get accustomed to it. And ever since year 2000, he's also been called the Elvis of Buddhism. But thankfully, he doesn't attempt to sing nor gyrate on the stage. That would be absolutely horrifying. Don't even think of it. So the conference organization here has been due to 25 key people coming together with Dr. Wilpola and to their great efforts and all the supporting cast that has come together as well, and your grand attendance. So let's give them all a round of applause again, including yourself. Thank you. My co-host is going to be Michaela. And of course, all the lovely speakers from around the world have come together today, and they will be treating us to much of their intellect as well as their ideas. So we're going to open the conference by inviting none other than His Roundness, Ajahn Brahm, whom I guess from all the laughter, you already know him. He is a once upon a time, a young student at Cambridge University who studied and graduated in theoretical physics and came out after that to teach at the high school. And he said, once you teach at the high school, you think that becoming a monk is probably the only best thing in the world. So he trod off to Bangkok to look for a teacher, and he sold everything that he had. But he thought, you know, after he gained enlightenment, he'll come back to the UK, which, of course, he never did come back to the UK. And so in Bangkok, he met another monk who introduced him to Ajahn Chah. And he spent 7 years practicing meditation and deepening that practice in the forest, where he had to be feeding himself to mosquitoes and eating frogs and all that, which he met all these stories may come out during the conference. Now he's an abbot at Bodhayana Monastery in Serpentine, Australia, with around 22 monks under his care, plus and minus. And also he has started the Dhammasaran Nuns Monastery, which got him expelled from his monastery in Thailand. So maybe much of that will come out later as well. So he has continued to spawn monasteries in Australia as well as most recently in England, which is an Anukampa Buddhist monastery for nuns. So it gives me great pleasure to invite Ajahn Brahm to the stage, and please join me in a warm welcome. Thank you.
Very good. I take no responsibility for my size. That is people like Angie's fault, and Walpola and Indy, PL and Indy Walpola, for feeding me too much, and for the lady who gave me a brownie this morning. But, as you all know, one of the first books which I read was called Opening the Door of Your Heart, and I always say that also means opening the door of your mouth, to be a field of merit for other people so you can put things in my tummy. I don't own it. It's not me, not mine, not a self. So I've given that to you. I always say let go, and that's what I do every time. And just how important this message is for our modern life is actually explained by the fact that even when you go to the toilet, like I did just a few moments ago, if you put too much willpower and control and effort, you get hemorrhoids. If you let go, you are healthy. So anyway, it's my pleasure to do say some few words for the opening of this 10th Global Conference on Buddhism. And again, went to the first one, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. And now it's the 10th Global Conference, but the 10th is a special number. You got one, it's a special number. You got two, it's a really, very special number, like Namarupa. The three characteristics of existence, the three refuges, the four noble truths, the five powers, and the five khandhas, components of existence, the six sense bases, the seven factors of enlightenment, the eightfold path, the nine, what was the nine? I figured out, that's the nine jhanas. And the 10 is the first number which has no meaning at all. So this is special. So anyway, and of course the reason that I'm here is because I've got a big mouth as well as a big tummy. The two usually go together. And the reason is because in a moment of lack of mindfulness and compassion for myself, I suggested, it's me who suggested last time in Perth, when said, where can we have the next global conference? And I looked at PL and Indy and I thought, yeah, I can manipulate those. And I did suggest to them, and it really happened. And because it was my suggestion, I had no choice. I had to come here. That's the trouble. Keep your mouth closed and you don't get into too much trouble. But I'm very happy that it's come over here to Toronto. It gives an excuse to come here. And of course, hopefully that this conference on Buddhism and neuroscience and mental health just shows that Buddhism has a huge amount to offer to our modern world. It's not some relic in the past. It's not some tourist attraction, which people tell me that go to mainland China. All the temples there are just tourist attractions. There are a few monks there, but not really much teachings. You go to many temples in our world, and people go and take photographs, but they don't really understand what it's there for. When those were built, they were vibrant. There was a meaning there. They helped the whole community in so many different ways. And these series of global conferences on Buddhism, they actually try to bring back the meaning, the importance, as well as the fun of Buddhism in its earliest years. So hopefully we can reconnect in this particular way with mindfulness, neuroscience, and also with mental health. And of course, the best part of mental health is learning how to laugh and have fun. And if this conference has not got any laughter, then I'm out of here. I always say that the type of Buddhism which I practice, a combination, try and include as many things as possible, Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, all coming together. I know that we did try to get more Vajrayana monks and nuns here, but unfortunately, due to circumstances, they could not come. But still, it doesn't matter. I'm representing all of them in my tradition. Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, H-A-H-A, and Hahayana. So welcome to Hahayana Buddhism. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arjun Brown, for those opening words. And now I'd like to invite a very special Sangha member who will be giving us the welcome address. The speaker is going to be none other than somebody who teaches and meditates as well, and he's known as the urban Buddhist monk. He has been residing at the West End Buddhist Temple and Meditation Center for the last 21 years. He's admired for his simple and all-embracing approach in transmitting and practicing the Buddha's universal message of love, understanding, and compassion. Please join me to welcome Bhante Saranapala.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing? Are you delighted to be here? Oh, wonderful. So I'm glad that you're here. I don't have a lot of time. I'm restricted to just 3 minutes. So I'm going to stick to the time. So on behalf of the, on our temple, the Western Buddhist Temple and Meditation Center, and the 10th Global Conference on Buddhism Organization Committee, and it's with great pleasure that I welcome you to Canada, to the great city of Toronto. In the coming hours and days, you will be exposed to the spirit of the theme of this historic conference, Buddhism, Neuroscience, and Mental Health, Making a Mindful Connection, a significant step in the right direction to understand the universal appeal of Buddha Dharma, which we as monks and nuns have a duty and obligation to share with the seekers as an integral part of our monastic calling. We, the conference organizing committee and volunteers of this two-day conference, are so grateful and forever thankful to Venerable Ajahn Brahm. And of course, Drs. P.L. and Indi Valpola for being instrumental in bringing this global conference on Buddhism here in Toronto, Canada. I tell you, it's a long time coming for these events to find its way here in the Western Hemisphere. And now it's here. We are blessed. Thank you very much, Ajahn Brahm, for giving us the 10th Global Conference to Toronto. And I also want to give a warm welcome to the Most Venerable Ananda Mahathera, the Mahanayaka of the Sri Lanka Amarapura Dhammarakshita Nikaya. Thank you, Mahanayaka Mahathera, for accepting our invitation to attend our conference as an observer all the way from Sri Lanka. So, past 4 or 5 weeks, it has been wonderful time for the Buddhist community in Toronto. May 28th, we had the huge Vesak Buddhist Festival, and then we had His Holiness Karmapa in town. And then this weekend, as we are having this 10th Global Conference in Toronto, we are also having another conference in Toronto at the U of T, organized by another temple. So this is such a wonderful time. I want to conclude with one important word of caution. Of course, science is no respecter of persons or religions. You and I not out here this morning to put all our reliance on science in order to prove the truth of Buddhism. Really, Buddha's teaching needs no such help. On the contrary, it's the other way around. It's the scientific community that needs validity, as the knowledge and familiarity with the teaching of Buddha can only help the scientist to do his or her research better. Remember, scientific theories too face that inevitable change and lend themselves to be debunked. As I said before, you are really not defined by your thoughts or your idea as to who you are. Well, my dear friends, in conclusion, I shall leave these few ideas with you. I wish you all fruitful deliberations and a successful conference. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bhante Saranapala, for your welcome address. And now we have somebody from the organizing committee who has been chairing the academic program And he's none other than the director of the Nalanda, or the president of the Nalanda Institute, which is dedicated to educating the public about Buddhism. And he's also the clinical psychologist and psychoanalyst and practices at the University of Toronto in the Buddhism, Psychology and Mental Health Program. Dr. Tony Addo has published over 100 articles and book chapters about substance and behavioral addictions, especially in problem gambling and mindfulness meditation. Please join me to welcome Dr. Tony Toniado.
Thank you very much, Angie. I think one thing I have in common with Asian Brahma, apart from our interest in Buddhism, is a certain roundness. And as I was walking here on the way here, we actually greet each other with a bump. I think that's kind of a new form of spiritual connection, I think. I study Vajrayana, and there we often greet our teacher with putting our heads together. But this may be a new tradition to begin, especially with older males, maybe. I'm going to, in the few minutes I have, read to you a message to this conference here, sent to us by the Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi. I'm sure many of you know who he is. For decades, he's been translating and interpreting the major texts of the Pali Canon, translating and making it available to students all over the world, and probably among the most widely relied upon texts, and I have all his teachings and his translation, his books. But he sent us a beautiful message this morning, a few days ago, which I'd like to read. Verbatim. He says, "We live in an age when people all around the world have been knit into a single global community, interconnected and inextricably interdependent, period. Yet as humankind has become more closely bound together, the problems and challenges we face have become more formidable. Each of these challenges, rising inequality, the spread of nuclear weapons, the surge of right-wing extremism, and most ominously, the destabilizing of the Earth's environment, is global in reach and colossal in scale. Each threatens to divide us and even puts at risk the continued viability of human civilization. Looking at our global situation through the lens of the Buddhist teachings, we can see that the daunting problems we face ultimately originate from the human mind. Their origins lie in what the Buddha called the three unwholesome roots, greed, hatred, and delusion. To resolve these problems, therefore, it won't be enough to merely make external changes, to adopt new policies, and install new governments. In the final analysis, the problems will have to be tackled by transforming the minds and hearts of human beings. The Buddha has shown that the most effective way to bring about the needed transformation is a path of moral and mental purification. The core of this process is the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. When grounded upon moral conduct and guided by wisdom, the systematic practice of mindfulness provides a powerful lens for seeing into the depths of the mind and thereby for undertaking the slow, laborious, but rewarding process of steering the mind to the heights of liberation. As, collectively, we work to free our own minds from greed, hatred, and delusion, in subtle but tangible ways we make a powerful contribution towards social transformation, forming centers of calm, wisdom, and compassion that can spread out through the wider society. Without exaggeration, it can be said that today we either flourish together or perish together. The choice is up to us. I hope that at this global conference in Buddhism, the participants will explore the potentials of Buddhism not only for promoting inner peace, but also for helping to create a kinder, more peaceful, more compassionate society in which people live together with mutual care and respect. With metta, Bhikkhu Bodhi." Well, of course, this says much better than what I would have liked to have said, and it echoes for me very strongly the message of this conference. I think the title, as you have been seeing behind us here, reflects what is so unique about Buddhism. Its ability to dialogue with what is really the dominant ideology of the West, science, whether psychological science, neuroscientific science, or clinical science. And over the next 2 days, you will hear from many experts who will address different aspects of this dialogue and will leave you with a great understanding of the incredible contribution that Buddhism can make to achieving the goals that the Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi has mentioned. So I'd like to conclude with that comment and invite Ajahn Brahm to lead us in the meditation session, which I think you're going to be doing at this point. Thank you.